All right, welcome back, folks. We are back for good on the Family Chit Chat. My name is Mac, your host for today's talk. Just a little bit about me. More than 30 years veteran of School of Hard Knocks, I don't really think I know a lot about anything. Sometimes, though, I feel like I know everything. Because I know somebody and everybody that knows a lot about what I don't know, including you. So, go figure. But however, I do know a little bit and a lot about things in the world of technology and business. One thing I sure do know about is people. They are same everywhere. Remember that. Okay, enough about me. But before we jump right into it in today's family talk, let's talk a little bit, take a second to welcome our co-host, Ms. Negger. She sure packs a punch. Let's talk a little bit about her without letting out the entire secret. Negger herself is a veteran of the financial world and the money business. With over 25 years in the money business, she works the community every minute she finds who is willing to listen. In fact, her motto is, transfer of knowledge is the transfer of wealth and power. Think about that. She spends a lot of her time helping communities that are willing and ready to take care of their monies by launching their own credit unions. Yes, if you're listening to this, you can do it. It's no magic. Just ask her. She knows where you're coming from and always willing and excited to listen and help out. All right, enough about us. Time to talk about you and the rest of the Black families all over the world.
All right, let's take a time out here to introduce you to our sponsor. This show is brought to you by Anchor.fm. Anchor is the top of the class podcast platform that can provide you with all you need to start your own podcast today. From recording, editing, publishing, and distribution, you can also make some money while you're at it. So go ahead, download the free application today from your desktop or your phone at anchor.fm. Remember, Anchor has everything you need to start your own podcast today, all for free.
How are you?
I am doing fine. Are you ready?
Awesome. Yes, I'm ready.
Yep. All right. Welcome back to episode 4 of the book. This is probably going to be the last episode in this series of the Black People's Money series, of course.
Okay.
Before we jump into it, let's take a quick look at what we've learned so far in the other 3 episodes. I know the conclusion of episode 3, we kind of understood that besides sustenance, you know, that it's food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And the roof over your head. You know, we couldn't actually pinpoint where the other 93% of the Black GDP go.
True. That was right.
Yeah, we couldn't do that. Secondly, we also understood that for anybody to confirm that there is a lack of anything, one has to first of all identify how much of that item is currently available and where they are.
True.
If you don't know how much there is and you don't know where they are, you cannot say you're lacking anything.
Exactly.
And that's what we looked at from our episode 3. Also, conclusion there, we kind of thought that little or no accountability of the outflow of the 93% of the Black GDP is more like a mismanagement of the resources rather than lack. Because we don't know what the 93% is. You know, we cannot say we lack it, which brings us to the point that don't know what we're doing with it.
We don't know for sure.
Yeah, we just really don't know, because we couldn't put a finger on it. You know, where does the 93% go? So we cannot say that it was lack of it. It's just that the money slipped through our hands, and we don't know
where it goes.
Where it actually went, you know, so where it goes all the time. Anyway, so, I mean, just to kind of wear a little bit of a kid's glove on this, we could just say it's mismanagement.
And I'm just thinking it's probably mismanagement, but we'll see.
Yeah, try to, be a little bit kind to ourselves, but so far, you know, we don't know where it is anyway. All right, in today's discussion, we will attempt to prescribe a fix, at least, you know. Now that we know what we know, you know, we will be exploring what we can or should do as individuals to start fixing this lack of money situation that we see in our community. Does that make any sense to you?
It does.
All right. So, what do you know? What do we really know about the black people's money from the previous episodes, Nneka? Do you remember a few of the things we did there?
Yeah. We talked about the GDP, in the black world, you know, and we found out that approximately $3 to $4 trillion.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. That's correct.
We found out that it's about $3 to $4 trillion, with $1.2 trillion in the United States alone.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
And we also found out that in the U.S., 7% is spent in the black community, and 93%. We talked about that already. 93% lives in less than 24 hours as they flow in.
Absolutely, yes. 24 hours before, after the flow in, 93% is gone.
It disappears, yes. It's like poof, it's gone.
That's right.
And we also found out that in the black world, you know, they don't seem to look any better than previous 10 years. You know, there's like same old, you know?
Absolutely. They always looked a whole lot worse whenever you look with time.
Mm-hmm. So the question, I guess, will be, you know, we are not sure where the 93% that leaves the community goes.
So that's a big problem, and that's a big question. You know, what can we or should we be doing to get a better control of this money before asking for actors for more money from others? You know, what are or should be the steps that we should take today and now to reverse the tide? Can we start with the third world countries? You know, at least, you know, because we have two different places that we find the black world, the U.S. and the third world countries. How about we focusing on some basic solutions, you know, on the third world?
Mm-hmm.
So what we know about it?
Well, you know, I think we should start with the government. You know, the government and the wealthy individuals in those countries.
Okay. That's where the money is at, yeah?
Yeah. You know, individual sustenance. I know people have to have food, shelter, you know, the basic things in life, you know?
Sure.
In some places, electricity is a big problem. Road is a big problem. Medical facilities, and it's like, what is that? You know?
Some of them are non-existent,
exactly, you know. So we need to kind of focus more on that area and say, why is this happening? Why is the government not looking into things like this to make sure that their countries in the third world, you know, mostly, so that their countries will run smoother than it's running right now?
So they should be fixing up those things, you're saying, right?
Yes, they should be looking into it. And again, the wealthy individuals in the community need to kind of help out, you know, spread the wealth kind of thing.
So not really hiding the money in the Swiss bank accounts and the rest of them. How does anybody stop that anyway? How does that, is there anything we can to stop them or to figure out exactly where this money's where they're hiding this money.
I think if they if countries have a better monitoring what's going on, I think accountability is number one thing that's lacking in some of these countries. Nobody's accountable for anything, and so the people that take the money out of the country and go hide it in Swiss bank able to do that because nobody's questioning them. Nobody's saying, hey, wait a minute, where did this money go, and what did we use it for, and stuff like that. So accountability, I think, is number one thing here for me.
So you know one thing, there's something that just popped up about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen it. It's, I think they call it the Pandora Report.
Oh, papers, yes. And then they have names.
Well, I think there was, I think it was one of the African persons there. And in fact, even in Nigeria, so they went all the way down to talking about, I believe, Atiku.
Atiku, there's about three or four of them that they've already exposed.
Okay.
Atiku is one of them. I can't think of his name. Obi, Peter Obi is another one.
Really?
Oyadipo, I don't know if I'm saying that right. Oyadipo is another one. There's a fourth one. I can't think of that person.
Is there anybody talking about where this money is and how much they're stashed out there?
They haven't said how much, but they say that they are on their list, the list that I believe an American company pulled that list out.
Okay, so that this is like something our listeners, you know, should dig into themselves also to try to figure out where all these people in their countries are, you know, stashing this money, because the report is out there already. Some people have published it, not only in Africa alone, it's a global kind of thing, yes.
It's a worldwide thing. Exactly. And that's part of the embezzlement we talk about. You know, we talked about embezzlement because they take this money instead of using it to do something good for the nation. They take the money and they take it out and they put it somewhere, or they use it for their own personal use. That's exploitation. They're exploiting the countries. You know,
that's a very good report here, because really, not only are they talking about this thing that it does exist, they are talking about it with names on it.
Yes.
Only thing, since I really haven't had a chance to read a little bit more details on the report itself, is trying to figure out if they started pinpointing people specifically for where the monies are, so that people in the countries, you know, activists in different countries could start working on going to the source of that funds, you know, exactly. Now that they know who put it out there and they know where they are, see if they can dig up the amount and start repatriating this
country. Sending them back, exactly. Yeah. Sending them back.
Yeah, because something has to be done about it. We know that corruption is there. In embezzlement is corruption. We know it's there.
Of course.
And now some people have managed to publish reports on it. You know, it's just needs to pick up the ball and stand for themselves, because it's their money that somebody put out there.
And I understand that is a lot of names too, a lot of names from, Africa, mainly African countries, you know?
They also have a King Jordan anyway. I mean,
he has
a lot of money there. All the places has been buying some humongous palaces, you know, in Europe and United States and the rest of them, and he's saying, well, it has nothing to do with the country, that this is all money. My goodness, you know, but what do you do for a country to have all that money? But anyway. Yeah.
Exactly.
But the report is out there.
Yes.
So how about all these other couple of items right here, like the lavish things?
Well, we know what most of these people do. As how can somebody, one person, have four jets, aeroplane?
Yeah, it's gonna fire all of them. It needs about four of them to take them.
Yeah, why would somebody need four of them? Why would somebody need 10 homes and in different places and stuff like that? These are items that are, you know, I don't think they're necessary. You know, like they used to say, you can only wear one shoe at a time. So if you have 1,000 shoes, it doesn't matter. You can only wear one at a time.
Really? So, no, I think it's two.
Wait. You can wear one pair.
Okay, all right. I think you can get two at least. You know, give them the credit that they can get two of them.
You can wear one pair of shoes at one at a time.
But three and four, that doesn't fit.
No.
It will work. You know, so.
And then, you know, some of them have cars lined up, you know. It's like a showroom, you know. They have 10 cars lined up. Again, you can only drive one at a time. Why waste all that money in buying that instead of investing it or something like that?
That doesn't sound like somebody asking them, you know, what do you really do for a living? Somebody in government, you know, probably having a jet plane. Mm-hmm. How in the world do you, well, you know, how do you get that kind of job that pays you that well that you can afford to pay?
They embezzle the money. They're all corrupt, you know?
So, bad leadership. So what are the people going to be doing? What do tell the citizens of this black communities or black nations anyway to start doing about the bad situation they have in their countries, you know, because the monies are staring them right in the face that somebody, it's one of them or two of them or three of them or a handful of them stashing the whole cash and nothing is actually happening in the country. What would be the suggestion? What do you think should be the suggestion for them?
They need to start demanding accountability. They need to start looking at who they appoint or who they vote for, to be their leader, to be in charge of whatever department or whatever section of the government that is. They need to be looking into what kind of character does these people have.
Not just saying that I'm a member of this party or my mother. You got to figure out what this person has done and with this person.
Exactly.
Has an exemplary character that is actually going to build the roads as opposed to banking your money somewhere that is actually out of reach, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yes. You know, so instead of just voting for, I heard that this person is good. Yeah, what are they good at? Good at stealing money? You know, good at stashing your money somewhere else? If they're good, you got to find out what good are they. How honest are they? They have to be, have integrity. They have to be honest. I mean, there are qualities that go with a leader that you put up there and you know they're going to serve you well. But people need to stop just emotionally voting for somebody. That doesn't work. It hasn't worked in years.
It looks like you're hitting on something here that it's practical and it's doable, because right now we're talking about individual votes, because everybody is entitled to their votes and they have it and they gotta use, they can use it wisely if they don't like what is actually going on.
Correct.
Not throwing their hands in the air and say, what can we do? There is something you can do. At least start by using your vote the right way.
To make a statement.
Right, to look at the person that would actually improve the roads, improve all your something like electricity and, you know, improve your lifestyle within your community.
Yeah.
Just not voting for, you know, you like them or they come from the same place you are on the relationship like that.
Because you know it's probably what's happening right now. That's why some of these countries, again, I go back to Africa. That's why some of these countries back there are just in a mess. You know, they are in a mess because the money is leaving the country like crazy. Because the people in charge, from top to bottom, they're all there to, fill their pockets, not thinking about the people that they're supposed to be. Leading.
But how did they keep on going back to the office? You know, how is it? Why is it that those people, do people really like living that way, that their money gets stolen and they continue putting the same people in the office? Or what is the problem? You know, why is it that they don't see those things?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer to that, because sometimes I wonder myself, don't they see these people during their first 2 years or 4 years? What did that person do for you to go back and say, oh, we want you back? You know? I don't know. Again, you know, I think it has something to do with bribery, and these corrupt leaders go out and bribe these people and you know, they remember them once in a while. When they need a vote, they come out and they give them whatever they give them, however they talk to them, to get them to trust them. And they go back and vote for that same person, and then he gets even worse than he was the previous term.
Are you saying the citizens are corrupt themselves? Because really, if you're voting for somebody that you know is just a rat, you know, you were given something, you're pretty corrupt.
Yeah, that's my assumption. I'm just assuming that's probably what's going on. I don't know that for sure. But how else? What else? I mean, think about it. How would they not see that this person is not the right person for us? And vote him out and get somebody who can do something. But well, every vote, they go back and the same person comes on board.
Well, now they are noticed.
I don't understand.
They are noticed. You know, they cannot complain about
bad leadership
when they are at the same time enabling that type of thing happening. You know, that's talking about flows out of the place. You know, if 93% walks away and then the third world countries, these things, you know, disappear like crazy, there is no accountability, and people say there's lack of money. Well, yes. The question is that where did the money you already have go? Where did it go?
Right.
And you don't ask that question from those people. You don't hold them accountable. You vote for them all the time, and you still complain that you don't have the resources. Well, you know, stop complaining and start asking for accountability.
Right. That's what's lacking. Accountability. Nobody is asking for it.
And they could still hold people responsible now at the polls when they. First of all, they have to hold themselves responsible in order to be able to think right and cast their votes the right way at the polls. Does that make any sense?
Well, of course it does. Of course it does. Maybe you will take a seminar or something to teach these people all that. I don't know. I'm just thinking out aloud.
It's going to take some work anyway, because you know, it's not like they don't know that. It's just that for some reason they prefer to talk about lack of a bunch of things and they don't ask themselves why are those things lacking, which of course, like we went back again, we're looking at it, we don't know where this money is actually go to. We know they're disappearing from the Black diaspora big time, and a big chunk of it is disappearing. That is, they go away, and we are able to get a little bit of a handle on where this mismanagement is coming from. Then we can plug the leak, and then there'll be a whole lot more. There'll be surplus in the communities. And there's a whole lot of things that go along with it. You know, we're looking at this, you know, embezzlements that tie into the Swiss bank, you know, one guy owning three or four jet planes for whatever reason. We know that he can afford, you know.
And a lot of cars and stuff like that.
It ties into some other stealings here, like bad and corrupt projects they have there, which is a part of this embezzlement. There's a lot of stuff, you know, that we're doing out there that we see that is happening, but somehow we're not holding the people accountable.
Exactly. And that's the problem right there.
At all levels, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's more like we are the problem, really. The problem is not the problem. We are the problem of this mismanagement, because we know there's mismanagement, but we are the problem that does, you know, that exacerbates this mismanagement.
True.
Because if you're in a position, they want a requisition or something, somebody requires a replacement equipment, and you wind up supplying an obsolete equipment that is going to fall apart in a minute, and somebody accepts it, then isn't that person corrupt also?
Yeah, of course they are. Of course they are. It all falls into that nobody is keeping them accountable for what, for their job, for what they do. You know, like you said, why would you go buy an obsolete equipment and say you spend, I don't know, $1 million on it, and then a month or two later, boom, the thing breaks down. Yeah. Meanwhile, the $1 million is gone, you know?
And what they needed was a brand new equipment, you know, that will last a very long time, for 10 years. Then you bring also a piece of junk and the other, you know, money is in your pocket.
Correct, because the budget was for a new equipment. You know, so the budget, the money for the equipment was for a new equipment. Now they go in, you know, they go behind and get old equipment that are about to die, and they bring it back, and then 3-4 months down the line, boom, the whole thing breaks down.
And nobody cares.
Yeah, no, that, oh, well, now they have to go ask for more money so they can fix it.
You know? So then it means we're not really lacking money, just we're mismanaging all the money that are coming in to start with.
You hit that nail in the head. Yes, mismanagement. That's what it is. Mismanagement of the money that's there already. But, you know, by stealing it and diverting it to something else and stuff like that. You know, buying retired planes from other, from other countries and bringing it back to their country. And sometimes those things are, you know, fall from the sky and people die.
All right. Yeah, let's take a look a little bit, you know, come on back home a little bit to United States here. Either way, we know, you know, from a clear-cut debtor here out of the $1 something trillion that goes to the Black community, only about 7% gets spent
in the black community.
And 93 goes away, you know. And we know that, we can safely assume that those 93% is not going away by corruption, because it got into...
Yes.
You know,
which means
there is another level of mismanagement going on in the Black nation, the United States, the American Black nation, on the 93% that we really need to get to. And I remember the last time we talked about, you know, maybe on episode 3 or previous episode, you did mention something about looking at individual responsibility in budgeting.
Yes. So. And that's very, very important, because without a budget, if just think about it like this, which company do you know that do not have a budget for each year or each of their financial, you know, year, fiscal year? You have to have a budget, because you need to know this is how much you have. Then you have to walk around how much you have. But what people do is they make, I'm going to use a number, they make $2,000 a month. They go out there, you know, through buying stuff that they don't really need, luxury items, you know, just buying things that they can wait on. They end up spending, they make $2,000, they spend $3,000. You know, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. So but with a budget, they will know when to stop. Hey, you made only $2,000. You took home $2,000. You cannot spend $3,000. You need a little savings for the rainy day, so to speak. And, you know, this is how much for food, how much for this, utilities and blah, blah, blah. And then when they're on budget, guess what? They're going to have more money saved for that rainy day everybody talks about. You don't know when it's going to come. Emergency kind of thing, you know. So budgeting is very important in everybody's life. Corporate, individual, budget is like a big thing that everybody, each and everybody need, you know, and not a lot of people kind of, you know, like that lifestyle. They don't want to, no, I got the money, I got to spend it. But you got to think. Budget makes you think. Okay, well, if I spend this money, go ahead.
So what do you think I'm hearing? If you make $2,000 and you spend $3,000, You mean you've already spent another 1,000 already into the future money you're going to be making, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Which is a part of that mismanagement we're talking about, that our money spent before we make them. That's the reason why the 93% flies out of the window. In a hurry, because when you create a budget, it does lead to specific items, right?
Yes.
Which means any other thing that jumps out from the wood that is not with you, just gonna have to spend the money from the future.
Exactly.
That's a problem, because really
it is.
You know what a commercial is on television.
Yes.
Every commercial is calling you to take action. That is, buy this stuff now.
Yeah.
So if you make $2,000 and you've already spent $1,000, and a commercial is asking you to spend some more money, and you do that.
With your credit card or something.
Yeah, which means you've already spent into the future to start with, so that that 93% is already, a good part of that 93% we're talking about comes from this extra spending you've done above and beyond the $2,000 you're bringing in the first place anyway, because you're going to have to pay these people.
Right.
Immediately money comes into your hands, so it doesn't stay in your community, period. But if it doesn't stay with you, then it doesn't stay in your community.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, so we need some discipline here. And is budgeting discipline? Is that what it is?
Yes, because it helps to keep that person in line. Oh, well, this commercial, well, I really like you, but I don't have the budget. You know, again, it's something called willpower too. Some people have that budget, but guess what? They put it behind and say, forget the budget. They go out and do what they have to do. But if they follow the budget, they come out ahead.
Okay. Now I can see two things here. You know, we're getting somewhere here. at least if somebody, you know, let's say if you don't have a budget at all, you know, I mean, then you don't need willpower for anything. You just do anything you want.
Right. And if
you have a budget, which means you've started exercising the discipline on yourself.
Yes.
And you break the budget, you probably might feel guilty about it and try to pull yourself and check yourself, you know, real quickly, so that next time you don't do it, right?
Right.
Which means you're suggesting everybody should create a budget at least.
Yes.
Just create it for the heck of it. Even if you don't follow, just create it.
Yes.
At least it will make you feel guilty. Then you'll check yourself.
Right. And if you don't know how to, then there's the people we can help out. And there are people that are out there that can help you. Help that person create a budget.
Yeah. Get back to us. If you're having a problem creating it or getting it done, you know, any other questions on how you
let
can
us
manage
know.
Yes. All we need is for people in the community to start holding back on this 93% that disappears. That's what we're asking them. Just do that. Do that for yourself, you know, and this an individual stuff. It's not like a collective stuff. You can't say, when all the black people decide to do something. The black people deciding to do something is individual black people doing their stuff, which means all the black people are doing it. So you, as a person listening to this, should say, okay, I'm going to do my own part to hold this money back. You know, to not spend the whole money I have in my pocket anyway, before ever I know it. I mean, just is, you know.
Yes.
The other 93% goes somewhere. We're still trying to figure out where it's going.
Where it's going, right.
Yeah. We know it goes somewhere.
It does. But we don't know where yet.
No. People, individuals know where their 93% goes.
Right, because they know where they go spending it. Yes.
Right. If you have something on layaway already, it's a part of that 93% we're talking about, because you've overspent how much you make. That's why that thing is stuck over there. And you have monthly payments, you know, that you're going to go make. Why don't you buy what you can afford now and forget about the layaways? You know, and get them when you can. If you don't have the money, don't buy it. Don't spend it.
Right.
That's it.
That should be, because, yeah, that should be somebody's motto. If I don't have the cash to buy it, then I don't need it.
Don't. You know, so that's the thing, you know, even if on the, you know, if you want to take all this vacation stuff, you got to budget it too. You can't just sit around and say, hey, you know, my friend just called me and said, we got to take a cruise anyway. Wind up, you know, popping the cruise right on your credit card.
Mm-hmm.
After cruising, you got to pay for it. And that's exactly how the money disappears before, you know, it spends 24 hours in the community.
Same thing with Christmas gifts.
Yes,
after folks, Christmas, you gotta think about what you're doing.
You gotta think about what you're doing. You can't give all the money away and turn around and say we're lacking it.
No.
You know, that doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't.
You know, and the people who are taking it from around there looking at you and say, well, look at them. Every time they complain, they lack money. But every minute you give them a dollar, they'll get you, you know, 93 cents back in a minute. That's not right.
People need to start being mindful of their spending.
You know? So we are really responsible for what is going on here. Anyway, I think we've given them a little bit of a nugget on something to think about and something to work on, because it's not really thinking about it and saying, oh, that they're hitting in the head. You got to do something about it, and you got to do it as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be looking at somewhere where all the black people are going to come together before the world starts changing for black folks. You are one of them, and every individual is going to have to play their own role in this case, because it's the money that is coming through your hand that is collectively coming, culminating into this thing they call the black GDP of $1 trillion. Yes, you know, it's not a pot of gold sitting somewhere else and somebody's throwing the 93% away. No. It came through your hand, your goods and services. So watch that money. That's the thing, that only 7 cents out of a dollar stays in your community. The other 93%, you give it away to somebody else for some reason, for whatever it is you're spending it on. You know, each and every one of you know what it is.
Yeah, so if the other 93 stayed in the community, then the community would be even better than they are now.
That's where we're going now. So what do we do once we hold back this 93% that flies away from our surplus cash, you know, that walks away from us? So any idea how we could be building up the community, you know, just building up community investment teams?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that would be one of them, building up investment teams to, you know, work on investing the money in the community. And
we can help on that too, you know.
Right, exactly. And, you know.
Like in what? You know, yeah. Talk a little bit on some of the things they'll be looking at.
Well, you know, like a grocery store, starting up a grocery store in the community.
Oh, well, that's a good thing anyway, because a lot of our community don't have fresh foods anywhere close to it.
No. And you know, and that grocery store will create jobs for the people in the community.
That is right. Now we're talking money.
Yeah, exactly. Money, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, setting up entertainment spots, you know, clothing shops and hardware stores and stuff like that. Those will create jobs, and that money now stays in the community, because even outside people are going to come in the community to buy stuff. So now they're bringing money in.
So what you're really saying is this 93% that is disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to places that have things like this that you're mentioning right now, because we don't have it in the community. We go to give it away wherever it is. So if we get this thing back into the community, yeah, you know, even if the 93% it flows out of people's pocket, it doesn't really leave the community, because it's circulating in the community.
Right. Because now the grocery store is in the community, the hardware store is in the community, the clothes, you know, these things that they go outside the community to go get, in their community. You know?
Okay. All right. Which means that money, whatever it is, the money, the 93% is chasing outside.
Yes.
It's now in the community.
Yes. So the money stay. That means that the money stays in the community.
At least that makes a lot of sense, because really, you know, even if it means we're gonna cut it down by 50%, that's huge compared to what is actually going on right now.
Yeah, because it's a lot. 93% is a lot. It's a lot. And you know, the first few years it may be 50%, but I can see it growing, you know, as time goes on, growing, and more businesses are established, opened up, and more jobs are created for people in the community. Man, it will be heaven.
Which means we can also even have people from outside coming to bring us some money by shopping in this new establishment.
That's right. Exactly. Yes. Yes. So they'll be bringing in money instead of money leaving. Now money is coming in.
Gee whiz, this is good. This is really good. This is really good. Not even chasing the money, bringing the money back. Only now we are hoping, and at the same time bringing some fresh new money into the community.
And you know, people spending where they, you know, where they live.
This is pretty interesting. Which means, you know, you're getting us to think and think very hard right now, you know, because money never sleeps. You put that money out there within the communities, it can bring some in here.
Correct.
Isn't that the same thing to say, you work hard for your money, that you can make it work harder for yourself and your community?
That's right. That's right. That was I think there was a song about that. I work hard for my money. I don't remember exactly how it goes.
Hey, you gotta keep your day.
I'm trying.
All right. It looks like we've given, you know, there's pretty much a whole lot that we've touched off on this series right here. Yeah, it's a four series situation, which is not really a very interesting thing, you know, one of those nice things that people like to listen to and would want to deal with, because it's a very hot subject. As a matter of fact, we're talking about their money and we're also throwing it in their face on how they're mismanaging their money. Of course, I'm sorry, this is exactly what we found out, trying to diagnose the problem of lack of money, you know.
Right.
Now we know that we can actually not only stop lacking money, we can start bringing a whole lot more money around. Our money stop flowing outside.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Awesome. Oh, it would be awesome.
I just add another thing here. Mm-hmm. There's just, when you talk about potential things you can do when you stop this money from flowing outside on the you mentioned something about grocery store and fresh food.
Yes.
Did you think about the health benefits that come along with that?
See, that's another thing. You know? Because there'll be fresh food. You know, there'll be more fruits and vegetables and things that are good for you, healthy foods. You know,
so people are not going to really cut down on eating all this processed junk food that create obesity all over the whole place and all the health problems we have.
Yep. Yes.
Arthritis, high blood pressure, you name it.
Diabetes. Don't forget diabetes.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So even when we're talking about this money flowing out of the community, it has a whole lot of issues along. We lack these amenities that we can actually bring back into the community or establish in our community, which would also improve our own health. Besides bringing the money back, we're also talking about health and well-being.
Right. It's a dilemma. It's that we need to, we as Black people need to think about, seriously think about it, you know, and do something about it.
Because nobody's going to be doing it for us.
I know. Nope.
And, there's no reason why. If you were to be on the other side, you know, why would you be doing that for anybody else?
No, you don't care. that person wouldn't care. It's like what? It's not my community. That's theirs. Their community. Let them do however they want to do it. So we need to wake up.
So if we need fresh foods, we gotta have to bring it back to our community by ourselves.
We have to. Nobody's gonna do it for us.
You know another thing?
What?
What happens if these grocery stores are owned by black farmers?
Wow.
Now you talk about creating employment, then we're creating businesses again. Creating business for the blacks.
That's true too. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yes. You know?
This could be pretty huge. Clothing stores, you know, most of these stores might be opened up by black designers.
Hey, you're getting somewhere with that. Yes.
We're not going to be running around chasing clubs all over the whole place. We'll keep it in their neighborhoods.
Right. When we have people that are, you know, designers and all that, that can, you know, supply the inventory.
Mm-hmm. Artists, you name it. Open up your own entertainment place and right in your neighborhood instead of spending all our money, you know, drinking liquor in somebody else's neighborhood. This is immense. That's a lot, right? That's exactly where 93% of my hour are gonna go.
Exactly. Now we're getting close to finding out exactly where it was going.
I think we're getting close to it. Now that we're thinking about what it is that could be done with that money in our neighborhood, now it's becoming clear where that money actually goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
You bring these things in the neighborhood, then the money stays, and bring some more money inside.
Right. Outside money comes in too.
All right. Makes some sense. It's exactly where we are, you know, where we are right now, you know. And maybe, you know, let me say this a little bit, you know, try to see if we can get a little bit of a handle on, you know, why what we have seen is actually happening. You know, in closing out this series, you know, we know there is ample monies in the black world, the black community and the black world as a whole.
Right.
You know, but one thing also we found out is that the black world is not managing their monies properly. That's a lot of mismanagement, which means a lot of missed opportunities right there.
Mm-hmm. Embezzlement, you know, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Correct. Most people in the black know where the money goes.
True.
Including us here. We've been digging around trying to find out exactly where the 93% goes. And we're just, you know, grasping things from the air. But some of them are getting a little bit very clear by saying this is what we can do with the money if we bring it back. It started showing exactly where that money possibly be going in like in the first world part of, you know, like United States, but in the world countries, you know, it's a little bit far out there because those things we really, the only way we can do it is getting the politicians, you know, throw them out of office, put some real good people in there.
Yeah, that's it.
Hopefully we have a chance anyway to return them. The same thing we're doing, you know, like getting amenities, you know, resources to our neighborhoods and communities, you know, that will create more jobs and do things for people, you know.
Correct.
Well, you know, we also complain a lot about lack of money when we don't even know how much we spend and who we spend it with. These are the things we do, you know. I mean, if we know how to manage our monies properly, we will never lack monies to invest in our own community. So now it's up to us to do our part. We got to count the coins and know where they are.
Yes.
And where we want them to be, because when we know where the money is, now we know exactly where to put them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've already given them a series of things to do with the money.
Right.
It's not like they don't know where to go. And the biggest part of it is that we got to stop complaining and get to work watching our monies. And before we know it, we will never like monies again. It is not. It is a mismanagement of what we have.
Exactly.
And we can bring a whole lot more from other people. You know, when we bring our own money back, then we'll create an environment where people can come to our clubs and drink our liquor and pay us for it. They come to a grocery store and buy our groceries and pay us for it. That is money mm-hmm. coming back into the community.
The money stays in the community.
Yes, stays in the community, and a whole lot more will come back because people need the goods and services we have that is emanating from our community. You know,
yes.
I think we're up to something here, and I think our people could benefit listening to these things because we've actually addressed the issue of the big statement mm-hmm. of lack of money, which at this point now we know that it's not lack of money, it's the mismanagement of what we actually have.
It is.
If we can manage it properly, what do you think is going to happen?
Community is going to look a whole lot different.
Big time.
And we want to hear from them. Anybody that have any question, we want to hear from you. Let us know what you think.
If you have any need, if you really want some help getting things going on in your community,
Let us know. Don't
hesitate. We're here. We didn't do this for the fun of doing it. It's a hard topic. It's a hard conversation.
It is.
And this is what we're here for. You know, exactly what the problem is now, if you really want to understand it, because the symptom of lack was just a symptomatic of the problem, and the problem is mismanagement of the money we have. You know?
Correct.
And now that we know that, so we can say we actually know what the problem is, and that problem is not lack of money. It is the mismanagement of money. So we should start getting it right. When we get it right now, then we start thinking right. When we start thinking right, then we start doing stuff right. You know, so
correct.
Tell you there's a lack of money in the Black community. There is money.
We just have to learn. We just have to learn how to manage it.
To use it, definitely, yes. In a nutshell, we should learn how to not give it away to other people. 93% is crazy to give away, and it doesn't count for improvement in your community. We can do better than that. We can. All right. This looks like we're going to be, rounding off with this series at this point. And I wouldn't say that this is going to be the final because when people start chiming in on it, we'll see there might be a need for episode 5
mm-hmm.
or just a conversation, on things as they really come in. Unfortunately, people don't really like to make comments. They listen to those things and they disappear. And I think we should encourage them. And we're encouraging them. Chime in. Say something.
Say something.
Exactly.
Say something. Let us know what you think.
Correct. If you think something, say something. And if you're going through something that you need some help and you can't figure it out, come down here. That is what we do. If we don't know, we know who knows. So this is an opportunity for us to put this thing to rest. Anybody in the world tells you that Black people like money, tell them that they're lying. That is not true. They're trying to avoid the real issue, which is the mismanagement of money. We'll mismanage our money. We'll give it away to other people. So come on back home, look at your coins, count them, mm-hmm. and know exactly where they are, and ask your friends and family to count your coins and know where they are. Just don't give it away for the heck of somebody asking you to do that. Think about it.
You might start
lacking money. I think this pretty much would do it for us on this particular series, and we will be delving into some other serious stuff, in the very near future. Just hang tight. Come on back. Neka, do you have any other nice, advice or suggestions to people out there?
Oh, I just want to say, when you listen to the podcast, leave a message. Say something. Let us know what you think. because this is going to help us to, you know, continue searching for anything that's out there that's going to help the communities that we all live in. So
I say amen to that.
See something, say something, and leave us a comment. We will appreciate that. Thank you.
That's great. And thank you, NECA, for visiting today and also giving us the advice. And hopefully we get to run with it and do something about it. But one thing we know, you have put them on notice that the Black world doesn't lack money. We have enough money there to make our lives a whole lot better.
Yes, we do. I totally, totally agree. Yes, we do.
Now we have the challenge for them to do better.
That's it.
All right, NECA.
All right.
Was nice a pleasure again. Was a pleasure again. We'll see you on the next episode.
Okay, you take care.
On the next topic, of course, because we don't know if we'll be doing another episode on this, but it's probably going to be on the next topic.
All right.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And to you, our guest listening in, we say thank you a million for the time. Please be the change you want to see, because there is no community without the people, and the people begin with you. And before you go, please share a podcast with friends and family so that they can help you help themselves and others. Send them the call to action and watch them change our communities. It would be amazing to see what we can do together when we all know exactly what to do. It would be amazing. Also, visit our website at www.worldblackinitiative.net to learn more about what we are working on. Thank you. See you on the other side. Quote of the day from a retired U.S. Marine Admiral: if you want to change the world, you start by making your bed every day. Because if you cannot do the simple things, it's very, very, very certain that you're not going to be able to do the bigger things either.